From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Earlier this week, the Food and Drug Administration determined it's not safe to add caffeine to alcohol. The FDA commissioner says drinks such as Four Loko, which are popular among college students, can lead to a state of wide awake drunk. Blackout in a can, as these drinks have been nicknamed, have up to 12% alcohol content. They've been compared to drinking 4 cups of coffee in addition to 4 cans of beer, all that in one tall can. This hour, we'll talk about the effects of these amounts of caffeine and alcohol on the brain and talk with officials from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division about what the FDA's decision means for the drinks in Iowa. The effects of mixing caffeine and alcohol after this hour's news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This week, the Food and Drug Administration determined it's not safe to add caffeine to alcohol. We're talking about what are known as caffeinated alcoholic beverages. Perhaps you know them as energy drinks as well. They're pre-mixed beverages that combine alcohol, caffeine, and other stimulants. The FDA commissioner says these types of drinks, and they go by the names of Four Loko, Juice, and Tilt, which are popular among college students, can lead to, quote, a state of wide awake drunk. Blackout in a can, as these drinks have also been nicknamed, are commonly sold in tall cans with up to 12% alcohol content. It's been compared to drinking 4 cups of coffee in addition to 4 cans of beer, this all in one tall can. Now, in the second half hour, we'll speak with officials from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division about the future of caffeinated alcoholic beverages in Iowa. First, we want to talk about alcohol and caffeine's effects on the body, on the brain, and why these drinks can be dangerous. My first guest is Dr. Michael Takis. He is a clinical assistant professor of emergency medicine for the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, an ER doctor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. He joins us in the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. Dr. Takis, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And we want to reach out to our listeners this half hour, this hour, and ask, have you drank Four Loko? How did it affect you? Tell us about your experience. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Tell us about it. Do you think it should be banned? 1-866-780-9100. Our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100. Or The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. That's our email. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. The equivalent of 4 cups of coffee in addition to 4 cans of beer, this all in one tall can. This consumed and hitting the brain all at once. What is the effect on the brain, Dr. Takis?
Well, the effects of alcohol are that, you know, they'll cause you to make poor decisions. They'll make you sleepy. They'll make you decisions you might regret. When you add caffeine into that, caffeine's a stimulant, and caffeine will sometimes mask the effects of the inebriation from alcohol, causing you to be wide awake and while at the same time having high alcohol levels. Then this could result in two things. You could make decisions you regret, because of the caffeine in your system is keeping you awake with the alcohol. Or as the caffeine gets metabolized and out of your system, you're left with a high alcohol concentration in your bloodstream that you've never seen before, mm-hmm. and your body's not used to, and you could end up blacking out, as what happened in the state of Washington.
So what happened in that case?
A bunch of college students were drinking cans of Four Loko, and they reported that I think it was up to 8 blacked out all at once. And it's very well likely that the caffeine kept them awake enough to be drinking, and they didn't know the effects of the alcohol. They didn't have that euphoria that they may have gotten with alcohol alone. And then when the alcohol wore off, their body was just left with these very high concentrations of alcohol, and it would cause them to pass out.
Mm-hmm. When we have these high levels of caffeine and alcohol in the body, in the brain all at once, are you saying that the appealing part of this is that the caffeine to some degree works against the alcohol?
Well, it works to keep you awake, and then the alcohol is still having that euphoric effect, but the alcohol is not, you're not making you sleepy, and so you're having the euphoria with the caffeine to keep you awake.
Okay, we want to have some voices of firsthand experience here. Our producer, Lindsay Moon, talked to a number of University of Iowa students about their experiences with caffeinated alcohol drinks like Four Loko. Why and how they drink it. Let's have a listen.
A lot of my friends like it because it's cheap and you'll be good to go for the whole night.
It tastes really fruity and you can taste the carbonation in it, and it does kind of taste like a Welch's drink. You can definitely taste the alcohol in it, but it's not overwhelming.
It's a cheap drunk and it's not actually that bad. It's a lot of alcohol for the price you pay. It's also nice for college kids who don't have a lot of money to spend on a lot of alcohol. It's one drink that you just carry around one can, and it's six drinks. If you just drink it slowly, it's fine.
It's more of like a sipping drink, and depending if you know how many like drinks you can take like in an hour, like I can handle that in an hour, but then I'm probably done for the night, and I know that, so I won't go take shots or another Four Loko. It's dumb. So
yeah, it's definitely easy to pace yourself. You don't need like count your shots or count your drinks. You know you only need one. If you pace yourself, it's a really good drunk, and it's not like you have to keep drinking and keep drinking. You just need to drink one. Yeah, I mean, I've definitely never had problems with Four Loko. I've always like been responsible and paced myself, but with other drinks, I know I've gotten out of control, and because I haven't like been keeping track of how many drinks I've had or how much I like have in one drink, I know how much there is, so I am more responsible that way.
I have never drink Four Loko because I've heard that it's got an energy drink in it, and for me, I can't even handle a vodka Red Bull because I feel like I'm getting a heart attack, and at the same time, I also feel like I have that drunk slowness, so the mix of a raised heartbeat and the slow body movements, I just feel like I'm going to die.
Those are students' student opinions about the energy drinks, the caffeinated alcoholic drinks that have been banned by the FDA. Lindsay Moon talking to a number of University of Iowa students. Dr. Takis is with us, an ER doctor with the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. What jumped out at you about those remarks?
Well, a few things. One is the one student commented on vodka and Red Bull, and those ingredients are obviously packaged separately, but mixing them would have the same effect of a Four Loko. And the FDA has really commented on that yet, and I suspect we'll hear more about that as time goes on. But I think for students and for young adults, the same combination, vodka and Red Bull, would be just as dangerous as drinking a Four Loko. Another thing that jumped out was how well it tastes. I mean, these are packaged to taste very well, and as the one student commented, she didn't taste the alcohol that much. But at the same time, there's enough alcohol in one can to raise your blood alcohol limit greater than 0.08, which would be drunk driving. And all that in one can.
I suppose the taste part is a subjective thing. I heard Stephen Colbert earlier this week talk about drinking one as if he drank a Duracell battery. So there are probably different opinions on that. I want to mention on Tuesday, Fusion Projects, the maker of Four Loko, announced the company's intent to reformulate its products to remove caffeine and a couple of other ingredients going forward. Fusion says it will produce only non-caffeinated versions of Four Loko. And let's reach out to our listeners, 1-866-780-9100. What are your experiences with energy drinks? Have you had a chance to experience Four Loko or the other ones? Tilt, I guess, are the other names. One of the other names, let's go to Nathan. Nathan, good afternoon. Welcome to The Exchange. You've had some of this?
Yeah. Hi,
go ahead.
I just wanted to comment. I was at the University of Iowa 4 or 5 years ago, and Four Locos wasn't really popular at the time, but like you were talking about the vodka and the Red Bull, the Jaeger bombs, and mixing energy drinks with hard alcohol was really popular, and listening to the other college students talk about how they can have a can of Four Locos and be good for the night, or that's all they need before they go out and party, really represents the exact same drinking mentality that honestly, myself and a lot of my friends had our freshman, sophomore, junior years in college. And banning just the combination of alcohol and caffeine, it seems to me that it's kind of missing the point. The way I look at it, the Four Loko packaging if you don't taste the alcohol and it gets you really drunk, there's no volume control because it's, you know, 4 to 5 servings of alcohol in a single can seems to be the drinking mentality of, at least what I saw at the University of Iowa, students wrapped up in a single can, use the alcohol, get completely disinhibited, drink to excess with binge drinking on a 2, 3, 4 night a week basis, and that forms the linchpin of the social interaction for a lot of the students. And I think, like I said, it just sort of seems to me that it misses the purpose because people can still go have a Jack and Coke, a rum and Coke, the vodka Red Bulls, and like the doctor said, the FDA hasn't necessarily commented on that, but if you mix them, even though they're packaged separately, it's just as dangerous.
Right. Great point, Nathan. Let's talk a little bit about that because this is part of an overall drinking culture. And we did hear quotes from that collection of voices from University of Iowa students, a really good drunk, a cheap drunk. Now, these are indications that we've got a problem drinking culture.
Yes.
This ban alone is certainly not going to solve.
Yes, this ban, you know, just brings the to light that this combination is dangerous. Alcohol by itself is a very serious problem, and you know, the university and the city have obviously taken steps to educate students and policies to change the culture of Iowa City. You know, the 70% of Iowa students had reported being drunk in 2009, in the last 30 days of a survey, when the national average is like 44%, and so, you know, both numbers are high, but unfortunately, the University of Iowa numbers are even higher. So it is a cultural problem here, but the university is making great strides in addressing it.
There are more than 25 brands of these caffeinated alcoholic beverages sold in the U.S. and a variety of U.S. retail alcohol outlets. Convenience stores, speaking to the youth, the demographic of this, very popular among youth across the country, regularly consumed. Approximately a third of these drinks are consumed by 12 to 17-year-olds. So these are minors. Another 34% of the demographic, 18 to 24-year-olds. So the main consumers of these beverages are below 24. And a third of them are minors, at least a third of them. So that's another interesting statistic here to bring into the discussion. Kirk, in an email, asks you to explain how an alcoholic beverage with caffeine can differ from an alcoholic beverage with caffeine in a glass. He names rum and Coke, Irish coffee, for example. The natural question that comes up, because these types of drinks have been around for a long time. He asks, what about a cherry bomb? Or any mixed drink shot made with Red Bull or Bull or an energy drink. We've had let's take something like rum,
sure.
Rum and Coke or Irish coffee. How is this different than that?
It's completely different based on the amount of caffeine. An average can of Coke has about 30 milligrams of caffeine. An average cup of coffee may have 200 milligrams of caffeine. And what's in a Four Loko is equivalent to 4 cups of coffee. So you're dealing with, you know, maybe up to 800 milligrams of caffeine. I'm not sure. I haven't read the product label myself, but based on you know, what I've been reading on the internet, so an 800 milligram level of caffeine versus a 30 milligram dose in a can of Coke is completely different, and that's where the problem is.
Okay, you are an emergency room doctor at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Have you seen or treated patients that? You can guess or have known for a fact have consumed one of these energy drinks as a path toward the emergency room?
Well, you know, we don't – in the past, we haven't really asked about the alcohol mixed energy drinks, you know, as part of our standard history and physical. But I think that'll change – this will definitely change the way we practice. And I suspect there's been a lot of patients that have had this based on the number of young college students we see that have blackouts. It sounds like I may be exaggerating the number of college students we see, but we see a handful of college students that experience a blackout and where they're fine at a party.
Every week, every night?
A couple a week. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be on either a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And these students, young adults, will be, you know, at a bar or at a party, and they're obviously they're on, you know, functioning well, and then a short time later they can't even keep their eyes open and or talk to you or you know respond to painful stimulus, and they're almost in a coma. And this happens very quickly to some drinkers, and those are the ones we suspect maybe drinking the high caffeinated beverages with alcohol.
And as you described earlier in the program, this is due to the fact that you put all this alcohol into the body at once with all this caffeine. The body rids itself of the caffeine quicker than it does of the alcohol?
Correct.
And then so you have this more dramatic crash in which the effects of the alcohol are what are left, and then you have someone in a real stupor.
Exactly. And the body itself, the alcohol is absorbed in the stomach, about 20% of it, and 80% of the alcohol is absorbed in your small intestine. So if you've got a little bit of food in your stomach and you have all this alcohol in your stomach, it's going to take about 2 hours for the stomach to release what's in its into the small intestine. So now you got this huge rush of alcohol. In the meantime, this caffeine that was absorbed in your stomach is being metabolized, and you get like a double whammy effect. Caffeine's metabolized quicker, and then you get this rush of alcohol in your system that may have been in your stomach, and you're hit with these huge levels of alcohol that your body's not used to.
Exchange listeners, we'd like to have you join our conversation. Have you had one of these energy drinks, one of these caffeinated alcoholic drinks? If you have, tell us about the experience. Tell us why you liked it, why you didn't like it. 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're on Twitter at IPR Talk. Do you think it should be banned, or should we be left to our own devices? Should we be left to our own judgment? If a product's out there, a new product with a lot of caffeine, a lot of alcohol in it, both of these drugs are legal. We've just packaged it differently. We've put them in a higher concentration in one can. So why can't we use our own judgment about that? Dr. Takis, what would be your answer to that?
Well, I think, like you said, these products are packaged for the young consumer. And I was very happy to hear from our listeners that they're counting the number of drinks. And if a purchaser of one of these beverages was actually would count their number of drinks, they probably would not get into trouble. But that's not often the case in young drinkers of alcohol. They drink to effect, or some of them do. And so as they're drinking more alcohol, they're not getting this effect of the high as much, and the caffeine is masking this. And then once they start getting the effect, the caffeine's wearing off, and again, they're left with these high levels of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And so,
when you say drink to effect, what does that mean?
Of having the euphoria of alcohol.
So they're just waiting until their body tells them they're at a euphoric level they're used to.
Right, and then they start tipping over from euphoria to sleepiness, and at the same time, the alcohol is being metabolized out of their system.
Mm. Adam tweets us. He says, big groups of college students blacking out and continuing to drink is not at all unique to alcoholic energy drinks. Are these drinks being used as a scapegoat? Asks Adam with that tweet. Your reaction, scapegoat? This is a something just on the continuum that we've had of alcoholic drinks. Not really that much different, or is it?
Well, I think it's different in regards that it's all prepackaged in one. Very colorful labels, very, you know, as one student commented, it tastes like Welch's. And you know, the packaging, the amount of alcohol in one can, it sort of, you know, represents, you know, the problem, you know, sort of the problem's all in one, packaged all in one can. And that's the issue.
And how much research has there been done? This is a fairly new program. These energy drinks haven't been on the market. They've jumped incredibly in their rapid growth. What do I see here in popularity since being introduced into the marketplace? For example, the two leading brands of caffeinated alcoholic beverages together experienced a 67-fold increase in sales, this from 2002 to 2008. That's a huge leap. Has there been research already done?
Yes, there's been some research. A lot of it was done at Wake Forest University by Dr. Mary Claire O'Brien, who I recently met at a conference. And she did a really nice job on this survey sponsored by the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. And what she found was quite striking. First of all, as far as your drinking behavior, if you do drink an alcohol-mixed energy drink as opposed to alcohol alone, you're twice as more likely to get drunk in a given week. You drink more drinks. When you do drink at one sitting, you're likely to drink about two drinks more per sitting. What's more important to me is the negative consequences of drinking. Compared for alcohol mixed energy drinks compared to just drinking alcohol alone, you're more likely to be taken advantage of sexually, more than 100% more than likely.
Why would that be? Can you speculate on that, or is there
a couple reasons? One would be the blackout. If you're out with a stranger out in the bar and you're socializing, and then all of a sudden you're no longer have that caffeine in your system and you're half passing out, you're likely to be taken advantage of sexually.
Okay.
You're more likely to be take advantage of another sexually, in that the caffeine is keeping you, a stimulant, and alcohol is causing you to make poor decisions, but you're wired. You're more likely to ride with a drunk driver. You're more likely to be injured and require medical treatment.
Okay, let's go to Kelly in Des Moines. 1-866-780-9100. Have you tried one of these energy drinks, these caffeinated alcoholic drinks? Tell us your experience. Do you think they should be banned? Let's go to Kelly in Des Moines. What about you, Kelly? What are your thoughts?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I personally have not had one of these energy drinks, but I am a recent college graduate, and I've been around kids who have had these drinks, and it's kind of amazing the effects that they have. You get really wired. You do get really excited, but you also at the same time get extremely drunk and make a lot more poor decisions than I think I've seen kids on just alcohol alone. And I personally am in, full support of this FDA ban on it. It's these drinks are almost playing right into the college lifestyle of, having as much to drink as possible, trying to stay awake throughout the night so you can do that. And I'm not seeing the benefit of having these drinks on the market. It's not helping the college alcohol.
Right. Maybe even worsening it compared to this research. But what about Nathan's earlier point? Nathan, in that email, said, this doesn't really get to the core of the problem, the core of the problem being the drinking culture that we have here. You keep banning things. What happens when we don't have the accountability and the responsibility learned by what, in this case, statistically seen as young people?
I don't think it's getting to the core of the problem. I think this is actually just escalating the problem, okay. If anything. It's, I think we are going to see a lot more incidents of, people being sexually taken advantage of, people getting into drunk driving accidents because of this. And, I think it's really going to escalate the problem, and then we're going to be forced to really look at the social drinking problems that we have.
Okay, Kelly, we have to go. Thank you, Kelly from Des Moines. We're reaching out to our listeners this hour to have you talk about your experience, your opinion of caffeinated alcoholic drinks. And when we come back, we'll talk more. But first, I want to thank our first half-hour guest, Dr. Michael Takis, a medical doctor, emergency room doctor at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, clinical assistant professor of emergency medicine. Dr. Takis, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll talk about the ban, how that affects us here in Iowa. We'd still like your opinion on this. If you've had these drinks, how did it affect you? Tell us about your experience and whether you think they should be banned. 1-866-780-9100, The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This week, the Food and Drug Administration banned caffeinated alcoholic beverages, CABs they're called as well. You probably know them as energy drinks, premixed beverages that combine alcohol, caffeine, and other stimulants. The FDA commissioner says these types of drinks, such as Four Loko, Juice, Tilt, some of the names on the cans you see in the stores, popular among college students, can lead to a state of wide awake drunk. Blackout in a can, as these drinks have been nicknamed, are commonly sold in tall cans with up to 12% alcohol content. It's been compared to drinking 4 cups of coffee in addition to 4 cans of beer, all of that packed into one tall can. Now, comedian Stephen Colbert had a reaction to the FDA's ban this week on his show. It was to unveil a can of his new caffeinated alcoholic drink.
If we lose our Loco, we'll need another source of Jitter Juice. That's why I'm introducing Stephen Colbert's Seizure. An extreme energy booze quencher that's like a strobe light strapped to the inside of your skull. With Seizure, don't worry. You won't wake up in bed with a stranger because you'll never fall asleep. You're going to be cranked up tight and hanging loose. The wheels will come off. No rules, no restrictions. You believe you can fly. Remember, please drink responsibly.
Comedian Stephen Colbert's reaction to the FDA ban this week of caffeinated alcoholic beverages. In the first half hour, we talked, all joking aside, about alcohol and caffeine's effects on the body, why these drinks can be dangerous. Now we want to speak with officials from the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division about the future of caffeinated alcoholic beverages in Iowa. Joining us, Stephen Larson, Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division Administrator, Claire Selsey, the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Commissioner, and Tanya Dusold, Communications Director for the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division, all joining us from the studios of Iowa Public Radio in Des Moines. Good afternoon. Welcome to our program.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Good afternoon.
We want to reach out to our listeners once again to hear from listeners who have had a chance to try one of these energy drinks. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What was your experience? Tell us. Do you think it should be banned? Do you think the ban will do any good? 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're also on Twitter at IPRTalk. And before we do get to calls, I want to turn and talk about this ban as it pertains to Iowa. Let me talk to Stephen Larson first of all. What does this ban mean for Iowa?
Well, what this ban means for the state of Iowa is that on or before December 2nd, coming up, is that at some point in the future, the state will have to make a decision based on the final actions of the FDA in regards to these products being on Iowa shelves for Iowa consumers. So we're in the process over the next week or two to make some decisions on the type of directives that we have to provide to both the wholesaler, the distributor, and the retailer if before the 2nd of December in regards to the availability of these products. And based on the actions that have been taken by the FDA, these products, in all likelihood, will not be on the shelves after December 2nd.
Okay. They are on the shelves right now. People can go out and buy them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so what type of directives could the retailers, wholesalers, be receiving?
Well, they'll be receiving information from ABD in regards to how that product is to be, first of all, removed. Second of all, the wholesaler has purchase those products from the supplier or the manufacturer. So they need to have some directive as to the responsibility of the supplier to take those products back because the wholesaler, through the distributor to the retailer, has purchased those products for sale. And so it's, you know, that's a part of their inventory. So they'll have questions, the wholesaler and the distributor and the retailer, as to where do those products go? Are they returned back to the manufacturer? So we'll be working with the Attorney General to clarify those questions so we can provide direction on how those products should be removed and where those products should go after they're removed.
Looking for our listeners' reaction to the ban on caffeinated alcoholic beverages, 1-866-780-9100, the Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Before we go to our other guest in Des Moines, let's go to Pete calling from Mount Pleasant. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's your reaction to this conversation and to the FDA ban?
Well, I think the whole premise of your discussion is flawed. We can't have a government that just completely tries to put out the idea that we're not responsible for our own actions and they can protect us from our own stupidity. The drink wasn't, I don't think the drink caused the demand. The demand caused the drink. Long before there was ever these drinks on the market, people were drinking Jaeger bombs where you took Jägermeister and you put it in a shot glass and you put it in a Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was where these really came from. And then manufacturers just responded to that demand from what was bartenders and people themselves taking two different products. And we've all done the same thing probably with open a shot in your coffee of Irish cream or something of that nature.
Right, right.
You just can't have the government completely saying you're not responsible for your actions, because that just makes people thinking they're not responsible for their actions, and then they think there's this huge government safety net that's going to take care of all their stupidity for them.
Okay, Pete, let's get a response to that point. Pete in Mount Pleasant. Pete says just simply an evolution of what we've been seeing in drinking, and we need to drink responsibly. We don't need to be banned. What's your response?
We're really not in the position to tell people what to do and what to drink and all that stuff. However, this particular product has proven to be unsafe in many other states by the way it's packaged, the way it's marketed to young people, and just the size of the package overall. It's 23 point what? How many?
23 and a half ounces.
23 and a half ounces. So basically it's double the size of a typical can of beer, but it has four beers in it, the mm-hmm. equivalent alcohol of four beers in this one can. So when inexperienced drinkers get their hands on it, think they can drink it, maybe that they're having two beers, it's just like a tall boy or something, they don't realize that all the other ingredients in it are acting against their own body. They still have the same impairment of someone who's had four beers within however long it takes to drink it. Mm-hmm. However, the caffeine is fooling them into thinking that they're wide awake. So mm-hmm. they still have the same level of impairment and not being able to, you know, do some of the same things that somebody that just drank two beers did with four in their body. Also, the packaging, it looks like a soda pop on the shelf, basically. And the marketing. Some of the marketing has been pulled now. And especially Four Loko used to have a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, and just showing people partying and having fun with their product. It was irresponsible from the very beginning.
People partying and having fun with their product. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
No. However, with this particular product, it's caused so many people just to literally drop in their place, black mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. before even knowing that they're impaired. Mm-hmm. So we don't have anything against people using alcoholic beverages responsibly, and that's what really the Iowa ABD keeps an eye on. When we see a product like this that's had so much concern raised about it over such a long period of time with multiple government agencies and state agencies all over the country, we have to take notice and protect the people of Iowa.
Okay. Was it Claire or Tanya?
That was Claire.
Claire. Hi, Claire. Good.
Hi there.
You're in a different studio, so I wanted to make sure that it was Claire Selsey. We were hearing Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Commissioner. Let's go to James in Iowa City. James, you're listening to The Conversation. What do you think?
Well, my comments are along the line you're going now. If you go to the supermarket where they sell both products and stand 5 feet away, you will not be able to tell the difference. The print on the can that says how much alcohol is in it is very, very small. They're packaged exactly like standard energy drinks, and that's done deliberately by the irresponsible manufacturer. They're trying to take advantage of the fact that we know college kids and young people like to take energy drinks. They think it keeps them sharper and smarter. They stay up later at night. They have a different clock system than the rest of us. And so they already appreciate what an energy drink will do to them. But they do not appreciate what happens when you put 4.5 servings of alcohol. And that's still going to be there after the FDA ban. Mm-hmm. These drinks are still going to be on the shelf. Now, I went out yesterday. They won't have caffeine, but they'll be there. I went out yesterday into a local grocery chain. An energy drink in the cooler was $2.69 for a 24-ounce can.
That was the one with both alcohol and caffeine.
No, that was the plain one, $2.69. No alcohol, just caffeine, just energy. Go into the liquor department, and Four Loko is on the shelf for $2.29.
Wow.
Now, there's something wrong when a manufacturer is so irresponsible to put a product out with that much alcohol in it and have it be the cheapest thing on the shelf. What would you buy if you were an underage drinker?
Mm-hmm.
You'd buy the thing that doesn't taste like alcohol, tastes like soda pop, doesn't look like alcohol, looks like strawberry juice, and you only have to pay $2.29 for it.
What do you buy? What do you think of? I don't know if you were heard earlier Pete's point that you know the government should not be intervening here. We have to be able to learn to drink responsibly. It's not that much different than rum and coke, a Jägerbomb, as he was saying.
Well, that's the argument that industry and business is responsible. And we know just from this product that they are not responsible without regulation. The FDA didn't say anything to me as an individual. It said to the manufacturers, this is wrong. You are selling poison. And so I want my government to ban rat poison in my food supply. I want them to worry about salmonella in my egg supply. They're not going to tell me what to drink, but they can certainly tell me where the safety is. And that's what the FDA did, and I applaud them for it. And now we in Iowa have to figure out what we can do to get the price of this into a realm that makes sense if we're going to continue to have these huge packages available.
Okay, James from Iowa City, thank you for that point. 1-866-780-9100. If you'd like to weigh in on the FDA ban of caffeinated alcoholic beverages, are you like James, said, this is great, I applaud the FDA, or are you like Pete, who says, we don't need this government intervention? 1-866-780-9100. And let me have our guests in Des Moines, Stephen Larson, Claire Selsey, Tanya DeSold, respond to James' remarks. What would you like to respond to there in Des Moines?
Well, I'm only one of five commissioners, and the commission has not taken an official position yet on this issue because we're sort of in a we sort of have a conundrum going on with the commission. We're only supposed to regulate hard liquor products. This is technically under Iowa law. The Iowa law for malt beverages and beer type of alcohol. So we didn't really have the outright authority to come out and ban it, or else we probably would have had that discussion right now. So really, I applaud the FDA and our Attorney General, Tom Miller, for working on this issue from such a high level, because I really feel like piecemealing this state by state would have been a bad policy for our country. So really, I think having all of these high-level individuals in the U.S. government involved with this from the very beginning. I mean, this has been going on since 2007 when some other beverages that Miller and Anheuser-Busch both made that had caffeine in it they already asked those manufacturers to take them off the shelves. Mm-hmm. So the manufacturers of Four Loko and products like it should have known better from the very beginning. To have these products come out. So I think we're all learning as we go along. It kind of took us by surprise, to be honest with you, that these products were here so quickly and we didn't know much about them. Mm-hmm. So we're all getting a very quick education on them and trying to learn as much as we can about what other states are doing. And I'm very thankful that the FDA has taken this action so that we have some cover.
Mm-hmm. And cover means that it makes your life easier.
It really does.
In what way?
It makes us be able to be unified with what other states are doing, knowing the dangers of this product. What the FDA did really was study the product and study the reactions of people who were using the product. And they actually did studies of folks who were using these types of beverages, and it confirmed exactly what you think that would happen when someone's taking a depressant like alcohol and a stimulant like caffeine at the same time. It basically doesn't decrease the level of impairment of the person, but their perception of their impairment is off. So that's why it's a dangerous product. And the FDA has said, you cannot prove that this is safe. And that's what they've told the manufacturers.
Claire, Tanya, and Stephen, you all work with the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division. Have any of you tried these beverages?
No, but my daughter's friends have, and I actually had a Facebook conversation with one of them the other day. She said, I'm going to go out and buy me some Four Loko and see what all this controversy is about. And so basically, this whole thing has just stirred up more people wanting to try it, which is kind of disturbing. And she was legal drinking age, barely, mm-hmm. and I just told her to be careful. Mm-hmm. But it really disturbed me to see that.
Don't you think, as those who are at the helm here in Iowa, that isn't there an argument that you may want to try it?
I don't know. I really don't drink that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I prefer red wine myself.
This is Steve Larson, yes, Steve. And I have not tried the product, but I have been out in the stores over the last 4 or 5 months. I've seen the product come out across the shelves across the state, and I've noticed, of not tasting that, it really looks like pop. As well as what Jim had said, I think the role of ABD, and as we move forward, the commissioners did ask the agency about 4 or 5 weeks ago to do some investigation to see what we can and cannot do, and what the FDA action has allowed us to do moving forward is to provide some credibility that the Federal Drug Administration has taken a hard look at this. We're looking at it, and then through our commissioners, we'll be making, taking a different, maybe a harder stance on it, but this is all going to be based on what we're allowed to do under Iowa law. We've also discussed this with a few legislators, and I would assume that there's a possibility in the upcoming legislative session that this type of product be looked at, or what is meant by high, definition beer. But at the end of the day, it's something that is currently allowed to be legal here in Iowa, and the FDA now has given us some authority here to base their research, their opinions, to determine the legitimacy of this product after December 2nd, which appears won't be the case. And then based on advice from the Attorney General's office, the Alcoholic Beverage Division, along with support from the commission, will be taking action to do the right thing.
1-866-780-9100 to get in on the tail end of our conversation about the FDA's banning caffeinated alcoholic beverages. Let's go to our caller in Belmont. Jake is with us. Hi, Jake. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, man. What's up?
What do you think of all this, Jake? Are you a young man?
I am. I'm 20 years old.
Do you like these drinks?
No, I don't. I drank for a little while when I was at Iowa State. I kind of fell into it a bit. But I actually was really, 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 really against it all the way through high school and everything. And then I actually went to the University of Iowa in 2008, that fall semester. And then I transferred to UNI, and then I transferred to Iowa State. So I went to all three, and I saw it kind of at all of them. But I remember at Iowa, there was a course that we had to take. It was like an education on drinking course type deal. And the main thing that they were trying to teach people was kind of in that drinking responsibly thing, where a beer is equal to this many, something of alcohol, and wine is this much, so you might be drinking too much, because you don't feel the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really pretty ineffective as far as I could see. I mean, what was really happening was the students were pretty much just pushing it off and saying, we have to take this class or whatever, but I'm just going to put it off until like the day before.
Hmm.
So then they would just rush through it. I mean, and it's not like it's really taking any effect. It's just trying to teach people how to be more responsible. It's not like really pushing like the danger of it or anything. It's just, this is what you're really doing. And it was educational to an extent, but I mean, like I said, it's not like, it was more like a roadblock to them than anything. It's not, and I mean, all this conversation about whether the FDA should be doing it or not, I don't think they should be doing it because, whenever there's like a higher power like that that's trying to tell people not to do something, instinctively they want to do it. And really, I mean, even if like the woman who was saying that she's a parent, she's kind of concerned about this, that's really good. But what we should be doing is, instead of trying to create a law about it, we should create an advocacy type group, and from there try to get students to come out against it, because the students are the ones who are really important. If a parent or anybody who's older tries to tell a kid not to do something, they're going to blow it off because they're more interested in what their peers think.
Got it, Jake. So. We're running out of time. Thank you for your comments. Let's get we have about a minute left of our program, Jake in Belmont, and we have about a minute left in our program. I want to go to our guests, Stephen Larson, Claire Selsey, and Tonya DeSold. Would one of you like to respond to the points made there, or have a wrap-up comment?
Sure. This is Tanya. I think anytime you get, just like Jake was saying, a lot of times these things kind of have a double result. Publicity like this for Four Loko, like Claire said, pushes people to go out and buy it and try it. While you do the education, one of the arguments that Four Loko has made is that very large on the can, it says 12% alcohol. Well, that's meant to be a warning, but it also can be an enticement. Oh, this has a lot of alcohol. I'm going to get drunk fast, and so that's the product I'm going to go out there and purchase.
I'd like Jake's last name and his phone number so I can call him so maybe he can help us do that education campaign.
Has some interesting ideas, doesn't it, Claire?
Absolutely. No, he really does. I was actually writing it down as he was talking, so I think we'd like to talk to him a little bit more about his ideas.
Okay, how can anybody get in touch with you? We've got a few seconds left. The Alcoholic Beverages Division?
The easiest way to get to us is at iowaabd.com. There's a couple different formats, forms on there that they can send information to us or get in contact with us and phone numbers and everything else. But it's all there inclusive at iowaabd.com.
Claire, Tanya, and Steve, thank you very much for joining us this half hour.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. Lindsay Moon producing this show in particular. Production assistance today also from Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Dennis Reese. We had help in Des Moines from John Pemble. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Contact us anytime, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thanks for the calls and the emails today. Join you again on Monday. I'm Ben Kiefer. Have a great weekend.